isolation this week, not quite at the point of stockpiling toilet paper and guns. But it turns out there's still plenty more happening in the good old US of A and abroad. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. While you might be stuck inside, you can catch us or maybe catch up on the podcast wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Ed, you and I are in isolation this week, joining me via Skype. All 50 states in the US now have confirmed cases of coronavirus, or what one White House official has apparently penned Kung Flu. The Trump administration's response has been roundly criticized, although Trump says, "I don't take responsibility at all for said criticisms." Ed, any thoughts?
This sounds like Trump. He takes responsibility for nothing. When the economy, except when the economy is going up, this guy is really, I don't know what to say at this point. He seems to be on his way out. He doesn't seem to have a real grip on anything, and he's got nobody behind him anymore. So what are we doing? Are we propping him up or what? I think maybe he even knows he's going.
Well, speaking of the economy and propping things up, Trump is gambling on a $1 trillion stimulus to keep the economy up and running. But unemployment, is set to explode around the coronavirus. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin has reportedly warned that without action, the pandemic could drive unemployment up to 20%. And as that's as layoffs continue. And in just Ohio, some numbers I saw, unemployment claims went from just over 500 to over 36,000 in just 1 week.
Wow.
That is extraordinary.
That's faster spread than Corona.
Mm.
Wow. And I think, well, there are a couple of things here. One, that tells you how partial those jobs were. They weren't real jobs to begin with. They were, you know, pieces of a job, working 10 hours, 15 hours, whatever. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that this could hang on. You know, once some of these businesses close, they don't have the capacity to reopen, unless the economy picks up one big head of steam. So I think the United States may be in for a deep, long recession.
And while Australians are panic buying toilet paper, hand sanitizer, and pasta, Americans are panic buying guns. Gun sales are surging across the United States. Now, I understand the logic. I mean, if one guy has a mountain of canned beans, rice, pasta, whatever, and a second guy has a gun, I can guess who is going hungry. But it speaks a lot to me just how much the fear and bad will is now permeating through this crisis.
Yes, that's true. There's no doubt about it. But that's happened in every crisis in the United States. This is one I think we can get over. Because what's driving it is fear, and once the fear goes down a little bit, I think that will go down a little bit. In the meantime, a lot of people are going to get shot unnecessarily. That's the American response to everything. I'm going to have a gun. I'm going to save myself.
In other news, Mitch McConnell has been personally reaching out to federal judges to urge them to retire so Republicans can fill their seat with fresh blood while there's still time and maintain an iron grip on the courts for years to come, according to a report in the New York Times. Ed, any thoughts?
Well, my first thought is he's given up. He's saying basically that they'll lose the Senate and the White House. There is some prognostication to that effect. But no one's gone that far yet. A federal judge is giving up their seat to please the president is a long stretch. And I would say only three or four will do it because they got nothing to gain. They don't get a bigger pension by giving up now. So what have they got to gain? And they might get a better deal by the next guys. This is just more waddling and pity. Maybe they think if he does this enough, the base will come to their rescue and come out and vote in large numbers. But if we look at the Illinois election, and we look at the Wisconsin election, and we look at all these other elections where the base should have been out, particularly for Bernie, because that's what the president wanted, they didn't go that way. So Trump is now in rescue mode. What can I rescue from this fiasco? The terrible thing is that we wouldn't have this fiasco if it were not for him.
Iraq and hundreds of troops are being redeployed due to the waning threat of Islamic State in the region. But as we know, in the Middle East, something else always seems to crop up. Now it seems to be an Iran-backed Hezbollah group following a series of rocket attacks in the last couple of months. Ed, does it ever truly end?
No, it doesn't. There are a lot of things going on here. One of them is, of course, are the old wounds. But now the United States is out. The region is a place where these bigger groups think they can gain some territory because the U.S. won't strike back. They were under lockdown, as we are now, because the U.S. forces were around. It doesn't take very many U.S. forces to give heart to the central government's military. So as the U.S. pulls out, it's really expected that these groups would move forward and try to reclaim their own citizenry. The only thing we had working for us in the past was we had dictators keeping them down. And now that they're out and the U.S. is out, we're going to have more and more of this. I hope we can move to a non-oil economy very soon because I don't want to see any more Americans dying for oil.
Still in Iraq, President Barham Saleh has appointed Adnan al-Zoufi as the country's new prime minister-designate in the latest bid to resolve the political crisis that's racked the country since December of last year. Al-Zoufi has now 30 days to form a coalition, similar to another country we're going to speak about in a moment. Any thoughts?
Well, my first thought is, what the heck's happening in Lebanon? Aren't they in the same position? This is a pandemic, isn't it? Leaderless governments. I don't know what government in the Middle East is really going to have a leader in the not too distant future. Most of them are on very, very shaky ground because they have not gotten very much public support. Their political bases are weak and their economies are weak. This is a disaster in the waiting. Unfortunately, who's to blame for that? Europeans who colonized them and set up these systems that would fail. How's this going to wash out? I think pretty much the way it has in Bosnia and the like, new little small governments are going to be formed, not very capable of sustaining themselves. But they'll have one thing in common, some belief system, and anybody with an education is going to leave. So Europe, the United States is going to get a lot of people in Australia because these Islamic-based governments are going to wreak havoc on the local population, and intelligent people will not survive.
We see a similar situation in Israel. I mean, what's going on with Israel right now? Ball back in the court of Benny Gantz to form government. But a quote here from Israeli news outlet Haaretz. At 3:30 in the afternoon on Wednesday, March 18, 2020, Israel came the closest it's ever been to a total failure of parliamentary democracy. Look, between political upheaval and the coronavirus, things in Israel are looking pretty disastrous.
Yeah, they're pretty dim in Israel. And the weaker Trump gets, the weaker Netanyahu gets, and they're doing the same thing. They're trying to stack their decks before he gets kicked out by grabbing off territory, not judges. I think Netanyahu has had it. And it's only a matter of very, very soon that he goes. And he's going to go, not because he can't form a government, but people have lost confidence in the man. What's going to happen when the Palestinians really fight back? Is Israel going to kill them all? No, this is the bloodbath that can't happen, not even for Israelis. The United States won't support it. Nobody will support it. So Netanyahu has to get out of the way, and a government, maybe center-right, has to come in. But this far-right government doesn't have a chance, and it's not getting any support from the United States.
And in the Democratic primaries, Bernie Sanders' path to the presidential nomination has effectively closed, meaning Joe Biden will be nominee. Now, Bernie could stay in the race, as he did in 2016, and try to continue pushing more progressive policies into the agenda. But the coronavirus has made campaigning and further primaries a difficult prospect.
Yes, Ohio was canceled.
Exactly.
And maybe Florida. So I don't know where this road ends. I think this campaign is over, and Joe Biden will be selected. Clearly, Trump doesn't have anybody to run against, so that'll be the team. They'll probably do a lot of their campaigning from fixed venues around the country.
Biden and Bernie have been debating without a crowd at the Democratic debates, or at least the latest Democratic debates, and Biden looks a little bit better with the pressure off. What shape is he in for the next leg of the campaign?
Better than Bernie and better than Trump. I think that by accident, not by design, Biden now has the kinds of people working with him who can help him with his speech making, help him with his crowd gathering, help him with his machinery, particularly gets the Obama machinery on the ground so that he can wipe up any candidate against him. I think the Illinois primary was a good example, and the Wisconsin, where Biden won almost every county. I think that would be true if Trump were the other candidate. It was Bernie, but I think Trump would have fared the same. I think Trump has had it. Around the world, people fear another Trump. But in the United States, unless something drastic happens, Trump's fumbling of this last event and the surging unemployment means his day is done.
Before I let you go, let's talk about VP possibilities for Biden. Some pluses and minuses. First, obvious name we've been talking about, Amy Klobuchar.
Well, I think Klobuchar still has the inside track. She's had a little stuff thrown on her about her work as a prosecutor and prosecuting a black man who apparently got the death sentence or a very long sentence. And it was her aggressive prosecution that led to that. Amy has not apologized for it, but said if she could do it over again, things might come out differently. I think she still has all that it really takes. She's from the Midwest. She's well organized. She keeps her head above water all the time. She doesn't let little stuff get to her. So I give her a plus plus.
Stacey Abrams from out of Georgia. Now, she's a rising star in the Democratic Party. And look, it's certainly not going to hurt to have a black woman on the ticket.
Well, if you want the black vote, that is a sure way to get it. And think, with this virus out, you're going to have to find ways to get every vote you can. And the black vote is a very important one because it votes as a block. So I think she has an odds-on chance of being the vice president. The thing she has working for her is what nobody else really has. She ain't been there. The only record she has is her own voice on TV, and she got an awful lot of TV coverage, almost like a presidential candidate.
Mm.
And boy, does she sound sweet, but she hasn't had much to do. Sounding good and being good are different things. I think that, and you know, she does have a little bit of this Oprah thing about her. I think there'd be a lot of white suburban women who'd like her.
Maggie Hassan, New Hampshire, does she bring anything to the table?
Yeah. Smart, well-liked in liberal circles. And so if you want to keep up the Bernie side, you bring in somebody like that. But other than that, she doesn't have the visibility that the first two candidates have.
And Gretchen Whitmer, even though she doesn't think she's actually in with a chance at this point, said it wouldn't be her earlier this week. Any thoughts on Gretchen?
Well, Michigan, my goodness. And isn't she presenting herself well? She's very smart, very personable. She works the crowd. She brought Michigan to Joe Biden when everyone thought that would not be possible, with all the left in Michigan would go for Bernie for sure. And the steel workers and all those manufacturing guys would go for Bernie for sure. Didn't happen because she's a centrist. And I think that's her big virtue here. She's a centrist in the Democratic Party. And, she does not threaten anybody that I can think of. And she certainly won't threaten Biden. And she's been a governor, so she knows how to run big things. So I think she's got a lot going for her. I guess the thing to do is deny you're going to... isn't she playing Caesar now? She only needs two more denials, right?
Just finally, Kamala Harris. Look, I've got to say, Kamala has some issues with her record, but I quite like her presence as an individual.
And I think that's both her upside and downside. She's a bit too present, isn't she?
Mm.
Next to Joe, she towers over him physically and is very combative. Boy, I'd like to see her attorney general, wouldn't you? Trump wouldn't want to see her as Attorney General.
Come plague or pestilence, Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast. Drop us a review. And you can also check us out on social media if you're so inclined. US of Ed on Facebook and Twitter.